Hello and welcome to the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. We are located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street near the Tamiami Airport in the Kendall area of Miami, Florida. Please join us as a special guest speaker comes now and challenges our hearts with a dynamic message from God's Word.
I'm glad to be here today. It's an honor, and this guy has, I have big shoes to fill here. This guy's awesome, and I think it was, so coming here to speak was a little difficult and nervous for me. Because I know how he preaches and how well he does. So it's a high standard. So I've taken a lot of time preparing for this, and I tend to argue with God a lot. So as I was preparing, I had another sermon that I was going to share with you. And in my spirit, I felt so uncomfortable. That I had to switch and share this story with you. And I believe God has a word for you today. And is going to change the course of this church today. So the title is Why I Live Generously and how that ties into what Jesus said in Matthew. My kingdom come. So again, I'm glad to be here, and I want you to see how lucky and grateful I am. To have my wife here today, Dina, can you stand up just for a? No, she's not going to stand up. If I make her stand up, I won't make it to my flight on Tuesday. And life has been wonderful being married to her for 25 years now. But I also want you to see how thankful I am for God's generosity in my life. We don't have kids. Well, I have one kid. She doesn't have a kid. And she's 10 now. I take her everywhere with me. She's a great kid. I have a picture of her. You can go ahead and put it up. And she has four legs, and she's brown. Didn't make it up there. So that's my kid. Zoe. My wife and that dog have a special relationship. It's a love-hate relationship. So, what I'm amazed at is the last 3 years, the people that we have come in contact with that have been a part of our life, have become almost like kids to us. A lot of them want me to adopt them, but won't do that. But the people that have been the closest to us have people we have been able to influence. And their lives we have touched. It's the people that we have let into our lives, in our home, who we have shared moments with, or we have cared about, that God has allowed us to pour into their lives. And they've been genuinely happy for us with the blessings that God has given us. There's one guy in particular that I want to share about. His name's Jeff. Not a Christian. He's actually a Home Depot delivery guy. And with what God's blessed us with, I'm going to share a little bit about that in a minute. The excitement that comes from him with what God has given us has been incredible. The comments have been, it couldn't happen to a nicer person or a better person. And it's a true thankfulness that comes from them. And the reason why I tell you this is because when God blesses you, everyone around you seems to want to put you down. They want to be negative. They want to say, you don't deserve this. You're not worthy of this. But we have found, my wife and I have found out that this has been the opposite. Why is that? This is an important thing I want you to catch. It's because they know they're a part of God's blessing in our life. They've become a part of our lives. They've got to enjoy the blessings God has given us. We're willing to share that with them. And we're willing to be a blessing into their lives. This is the message I'm about to share with you. This is one that Dina and I have been living for the last 3 years. That what God has done in our lives has been unbelievable. It to me, it's just so exciting that where God's taken me to has been to a place I never dreamed I could go. It's also been a little nerve-wracking. But it's been unbelievable. And the most unbelievable part of this is the excitement from people that are around us that want to be a part of our lives. See, I don't understand how God does his multiplication. Doesn't make sense to me. But what I do know is if I'm willing to give with a heart of generosity and listen to what God has asked me, when he asked me to borrow something that's already his, and what he has returned to me has been crazy. Mm. I know you're giving me a dry mouth. So let's go to the next slide. I want to show this to you, and I'm going to get into my scripture. So this is what God has blessed us with. There's a lot of work that needs to be done to that place, but we are going from a house we've been in for 24 years. That has been a blessing to us and others. And there's a long story with this house and why we're moving, and I won't get into that. Am I too close to this one? I broke it. I'm going to switch sides. You can flip to the next slide as I'm talking. But see, we weren't looking at moving. We were content where we were. I was prepared to die in my house, as bad as that sounds. But it was home. See, God never stops providing for us or doing stuff for us. And we're not moving very far, maybe 10 miles. But I would have never thought I would have moved from down on the bottom of the hill to the top of the hill. Like we're doing. But God never stops working. So in the midst of all this, in the midst of selling our house and being in it for so long and all the mourning that came with it, it wasn't the possession I cared about. It was the memories and the things that happened in our life. So immediately you start thinking, when God moves you in a direction, it was, okay, I have a mortgage to pay now. I have taxes to pay. And you become a little overwhelmed with a blessing that God's given you. How many believe that when God moves you somewhere, there's still more to learn and do? So being overwhelmed with everything that's happening in our life and all the work that has to be done and the cost. So God says to me, John, are you still going to live generously? Stop me in my tracks. Because I wasn't thinking about how I was living my life anymore. I was thinking about what was going to happen. It's easy to change directions in your life when God blesses you. But when God blesses you and you're willing to listen, He'll keep you on track. Because when God shared that with me, He was saying, am I still willing to invite those around me into His blessing? And into what He's given me. And to confirm this, a week later, a good friend of mine was praying for me. And we had met up during the day. And he shared something with me. He said, I'm very happy for you. I've been praying for you. And I'm excited that God's blessed you. And I was praying that you'll be able to afford the place you're going into. And this is what God said to him. Tell John if the money keeps flowing, he will not lack anything. See, that's how God works. When he provides and blesses you, there'll always be a provision. You see, God's asked my wife and I to live generously. And God was telling me, don't let this house get in the way of what you need to do. It put me at peace and put me back on track to help those around me that he has brought into my life to be a blessing to them. And all he's asking from me is to have a willing heart. See, to me, this is mind-blowing. Where everything I have is God's. And all he's asking to do is to borrow something. And he's willing to give it back to me in a huge amount. But see, that's not all you get. You get a huge blessing of just being able to be a part of someone's life that you're changing. You see, what excites me the most is allowing God to ride in on my back, on my generosity to touch other people. He's done that at the church I go to and the city of Irvine that the church is in. And he wants to do that today in Pure Heart and in the Kendall area of Miami. See, I call this the craziness of tithing and living generously. Living generously, though, and talking about this, I know makes some people nervous. We already have one person leaving the church. So the ladies in the back are locking the door, and you guys can't get out till I'm done. I'm just kidding. Talking about generosity shouldn't make us nervous. It's crazy what we get to be a part of. I believe this message today is going to change your idea of how we give and how we live our lives. I've been praying for the last week and a half that today will be a start of something special. And that will come in Miami and will come from this church. I don't say this lightly, because at our church, a pastor and I have spent many hours praying for God's presence to be in that church all the time. When you walk in there, you can feel God's presence, even when church hasn't started. I believe that that's what God wants for this church. And that's why I'm here. Because there's a lot of people out there who are hurting and broken. who are on their last leg, who are desperate for something. And God will send him here to meet him and to be touched by him through this church. So I want to get to the scripture. Matthew 21, 1 through 11. So the title, The Triumphal Entry. You're throwing me a little bit. You got it? So just the title alone makes you think that this is something that is great that's going to happen. It is. But then it isn't. See, Jesus is about to do the greatest thing that has ever been done by anybody in the world. This is the start of his final journey that leads him to the cross, where he sacrifices himself for us so we can have the life we do. So verse 1, when they approached Jerusalem and had reached Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent the two disciples ahead, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and at once you will find a donkey tied and her colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. See, there's something we have to really look at here, what Jesus says. He says, untie them and bring them to me. See, you would think Jesus would ask for something amazing. But no. He asked something simple. Untie the donkey and the little donkey and bring them to me. It's very simple. This is not complicated. It doesn't require much. This story is just a donkey and a little donkey. And when you find them, just untie them and bring them to me. Verse 3. If anyone says anything to you, and you can imagine, I'm sure someone did, you should say, the Lord needs them. And without delay, the owner will send them. With you. This happens so that was spoken by the prophet would be fulfilled, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, the people of Jerusalem, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. Then the disciples went and did as Jesus instructed them. And they brought the donkey and the colt, placed their coats on them. Jesus sat on the coats. Most of the crowd spread their coats on the road as before the king, while others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed him were shouting in praise and adoration, Hosanna, the son of David, Messiah, blessed, praises and glorified, he is who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Heaven. When he entered Jerusalem, all the city was trembling with excitement. Who is this? And the crowds were saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. You see, the first reason generosity is crazy is God is asking us for something. See, it's crazy God would ask anything from us. And it's crazy the fact that he sent his disciples to find a donkey and a little donkey. Because Jesus is about to do something great. Why does he need to waste his time to send his disciples to go get a donkey and a little donkey? When he could have just created a donkey and a little donkey. He could have went poof, and there it is. How crazy would that be if you're standing there? And Jesus made a donkey and a little donkey. You see, God knew he needed to ride into town on a donkey. That's why he sent his disciples. You see, God can do anything. He doesn't need us. Doesn't need our money. If he wanted to build a new church, poof, it would be done. If he wanted to remodel this place, poof, it could be done. He doesn't need our help. But the fact that God comes to people like you and me, the people that he created and the things he created is crazy because he asks us for stuff that is already his and he can make it at any time. You see, when I came to Arise Church, from the church that I was previously attending, well, you got help? Maybe. they know. They should be in the English service. You know, God asked me to continue tithing. You know, when you go to someplace new, or God asks you for something, we're so quick to figure out reasons why not to do that. I was like, God, I don't know these people. I haven't looked them up on the internet. I haven't searched them on Google. I haven't looked at their books. I don't know how they spent their money. But here's what you got to understand. When you have a relationship with the God of the universe, sometimes you just don't need to know. You just need to respond and give to what God's asking you to do. All God wants is your willing heart. You don't have to worry about this guy. I know him, so you're safe. You see, to give God something that he could do without, or do without anything that I have, is crazy. The fact that God, again, wants to borrow something that he's already giving you. Is amazing, because it all belongs to him. You see, he could have told the guy in the story, give me the donkey and the colt, it's mine. No, the Lord says, I need them. The fact that Jesus needed a donkey and a colt. Let's face it. He could have rode into Jerusalem on anything. Could you imagine? He could have created an airplane back then and flown in on an airplane. Or he could have rode on a fireball or the biggest horse in the world. Or on the backs of angels. But no. He could have come any way he wanted to. But he asked to borrow a donkey and a colt. This made me think. If Jesus can ride into town on a donkey and a colt, then sometimes I can get off my high horse. See, he came riding low to be lifted high. This is the way of the kingdom of God. It's crazy that God needs anything special, especially from us. My second point. I think this is one of the craziest parts of the story. You see, Jesus rides into town on the donkey and the little donkey. But in fact, Jesus is riding into town, into this town, on the generosity of ordinary people. Like you and me. He can come any way he wants into this town. But he's not going to. He's going to come in on the generosity of you and I. See, Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the generosity of a man who had a donkey and a little donkey. And he says, this is how I'm riding into town. And that's how he's going to ride into Miami. See, it's ordinary people. I want you to catch this. It's ordinary people. In the eyes of God. That give extraordinary. To the purpose of God that change or will change the city. God just doesn't appear. He just needs a willing vessel. For those of you that are willing to allow God to ride in on your back. See, the donkey owner set off a tidal wave in the city. When he came into the city, on generosity's back, the whole city was stirred. See, that's what God's thinking about this church. As God rides in on your back of generosity, he wants this whole city to be stirred. He wants everyone to ask, who is this? Just like in the Bible, who is this? This is how it's going to happen. It's also going to happen through good preaching, having church, how we live our lives, like God wants us to live, loving people that come through the doors, being kind to people, sharing our lives with those others. But it's also going to happen through generosity, because that's how Jesus is going to enter this city. And that's how he entered the city before he was about to do the greatest thing for mankind. You see, God knows if you're going to be generous with your money and the things that you own, you're also going to be generous with your time. It all comes together. The fact that God is choosing to ride into this city on generosity's back is crazy. See, God doesn't need our backs to ride into this city and change this city. He wants your back. He wants your generosity. The third point. See, our generosity writes us into the story of God. Our greed writes us out of the story of God. See, God chooses to write us into the story. We're not in the Bible back then, but we could have been if we had a donkey and a little donkey and be willing to untie them and let Jesus borrow them. It's those little acts of our responsiveness to God to his prompting us that writes us into the story of God. Just like the story of the guy I told you in the beginning of the message. See, God writes me into that story because of my willingness to be responsive for what God has. See, here's a God of that the universe begins with and ends with. Doesn't need anything from us, but he chooses us to write us in the story. You see, in the Bible, there's a little boy with two fishes and five loaves of bread. Because of his generosity and his willingness to give that up, God wrote him into his story, which he didn't have to. See, God chooses to invite those he loves into into his unfolding story.
En la historia de él que se está desarrollando.
We don't get written in because we're important.
No nos escriben porque somos importantes.
We get written in because we're available to God through generosity.
Estamos incluidos en la historia porque estamos disponibles, ser usados por Dios.
You can see the pattern.
Tú puedes ver lo que es el modelo.
You see, it's crazy. God doesn't need us. But he wants to use us. This promise that we're talking about was made 500 years before Christ. In Zechariah
9:9.
And this is what he writes. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and endowed with salvation. Humble and unassuming. In submission to the will of the Father. And riding on a donkey. Upon a colt. The foil of a donkey. 500 BC. This is what he said. And what Jesus was going to do in this city. On this day. And all those years later. One man's generosity fills the destiny of God and a destiny for a city. I can't help wonder what God's promises to this city that will be fulfilled and done with your generosity. And you're going to get written into the story of God. The fourth point, you always get back more than what you give. Let's just face it. This is not the part we're supposed to talk about. But we're all human. We're made of flesh and blood. So I want to put it into real terms. As I showed you earlier, how God's been blessing us. If you give anything to God, in a heart of generosity, guess what? You get it back. I didn't say that. God says that. And you get it back. You get it back with a crazy amount of increase. God's multiplication doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. We know 2 times 2 is 4. But when God does 2 times 2, it's not 4. It's like becomes 10. He gives back so much more. You see, the donkeys, the guy got the donkeys back. They didn't kill the donkeys. They didn't sacrifice the donkeys. They sacrificed Jesus, but not the donkeys. The donkey ride was maybe an hour. And the donkey owner just followed along with the crowd. He's probably thinking, this is good. My donkeys are doing really good. And then Jesus gets into the city. He gets off the donkeys. And the guy gets his donkeys back. He takes them and ties them back up where they were. He probably went back into the house after that was done. And this is the part for me that this last week that has really been even more crazy to me. As he went into his house, he said to his wife, "You won't believe what happened to me today." Jesus rode in on the back of the little donkey and the big donkey today into town. It was crazy. There was people lined up for miles, laying their coat down, palm branches down on the ground, for the donkeys to walk on. There was praise and worship going on. And the worship band killed it. They sounded amazing. I don't fully understand what was going on today. But little donkey and big donkey were in it today. They're back in the stable eating now. They're a little tired from all the excitement and what was going on. You see, the guy got the donkeys back. Right then and there. You're going to get what you give back. When you give of yourself, yes, your money, but it's also of yourself. You're going to get it back. And then some. See, you need to understand that it's much more than just being generous. Of yourself. You're opening up a doorway. A floodgate. Of what you're going to get back. See, I think the donkeys understood what was going on. If you're a pet owner, not like pastor's pet. They understand what's going on. I believe the two donkeys understood what was going on. I believe they understood the King of Kings was riding on their backs. See, they were probably in the stable eating later that day. And the little donkey probably goes to the big donkey. Did you see who was riding in on my back? Did you see what happened? The donkey was probably so excited. And that the fact is he was able to be used by God. Through the owner's generosity. How awesome would it be for you to say, "Hey, Pastor, did you see that Jesus was riding here in this church? On my back. And did you see what God just did through me?" I don't know if your worship team want to come up. As the worship team comes up, if I can have every eye closed and head bowed. How awesome would that be? for God to use you like he did the donkey, where he's able to ride in on your back in this city and change this city. Are you willing to answer that call where God says, untie the little donkey and the big donkey because I need them? Sometimes it's hard because we don't think about what he's going to give us back. But we just need to be willing. You have an opportunity to change this area. And are you going to allow God to use you? Starting now. I know he's asking. I know he's been asking some of you to do something that you have been resisting. Now is the time. Those people that come to mind that you may need to reach out to, share your life with, share whatever you have. But just be a willing heart and be responsive to what God has for you.
Thank you so much for having joined us today for this impacting message. I trust that God has touched your life through it and stirred in you a renewed passion for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Lord is faithful, and he wants to touch your life in a powerful way. He alone can meet your deepest needs and give your life meaning, no matter what situation you may be in right now. So be encouraged, friend. Trust him and be assured that I will be praying for you. If you are in the Miami area and do not have a home church, why don't you come out and join us? We are near the Tamiami Airport in Kendall and located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street. Our service times are Sundays at 9 a.m. in Spanish and 11 a.m. in English. God bless you. I look forward to meeting you soon.
Well, thank you for being with us. You've been listening to Pastor Dennis Penton and the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. It is our prayer that this message has been a challenge to your heart and your life. If you would like prayer, please call the church office at 305-969-7873. We would love to have the opportunity to connect with you in prayer. For more information about us, visit our website at www.pureheartchristian.org. And also, while you're on Facebook, make sure you visit us at the Pure Heart Christian Center page and click on Like Us. Until next time, may God's Spirit bless you mightily.